Do you remember what I talked about last week? Anybody? Yeah, it was me.
Kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. So since Easter and leading up to Pentecost Sunday, we're sort of sitting in this little chapter one of Acts, which is just talks about what the disciples were doing before really this amazing event where the Holy Spirit fell on them and there was tongues of fire on their heads and then just really propelled them out into the streets. And after that event happened, I think the first day after that, 3,000 people were saved. So it's a really amazing event, but we're sort of in this in-between part, in between Easter, when Jesus died and was resurrected, and then in Pentecost. So last week I spoke on the kingdom of God because it says in Acts chapter 1 that in his last 40 days on earth, Jesus spoke to his followers about this, about the kingdom of God. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So we're going to continue talking about the kingdom of God. It was important to Jesus, and so I think it should be important to us. But maybe I'll just pause for a moment and just pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here with us this morning. Lord, I pray that as in this part of the service, when there's stories and a bit of a message, Lord, that you would speak your truth to our hearts. Lord, that there's things that we would be able to take hold of, that there's your revelation would shine on our hearts. That we'd come to know you more. That's the desire of our hearts, Lord, most of all. So Holy Spirit, come. Take my words and the words of the others and just let your truth resound, Father. In Jesus' name. So last week I gave an introduction to this amazing kingdom of God, and it really is amazing. If you think about it, it's beautiful. And I said that the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. It's where Jesus is king. The kingdom of God is a future reality that since the coming of Jesus, it's been breaking into the presence. Into the present. It was inaugurated with Jesus' first coming and will arrive in its fullness with his return. And we're now living in this sort of now and not yet tension. And I said that we are called to be ambassadors of the kingdom, proclaiming the good news and doing the stuff that Jesus did. Ordinary people with an extraordinary God. The Gospels reveal that Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God. And in the book of Matthew, there's a bunch of illustrations that the Bible calls parables that Jesus gave to try to explain what the kingdom of God is like. He had to do this because the kingdom of God was just so radically different from what the Israelites were expecting. They were probably expecting a political kingdom with this really tall, muscly king coming in, driving out the enemies of Israel. The Romans and anybody else that was oppressing them, but Jesus had to come in with these illustrations that actually it was pretty different. It was not what they expected, but it was so much better. It was just such an amazing. It is such an amazing kingdom, and so I just want to highlight a couple of these parables this morning in chapter 13, 31 to 33. These are the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So in these parables, the kingdom of God is described as a tiny little mustard seed, which ends up growing to be the biggest garden, biggest garden plants, and then a tree. And it's also described as yeast. So yeast is something that's even smaller than mustard seed. It's a tiny little microscopic fungus, so you need a microscope to be able to see it. But it's really ubiquitous, and it's really useful. So without yeast, we wouldn't have delicious things like beer or bread in this example. And this makes me think that the kingdom of God is sometimes, it's not always that obvious. Maybe it's sometimes a little bit hard to see, like it's a little bit subtle. It's sort of a little bit under the surface. But at the same time, like yeast just spreads. I work in a lab and yeast is a real pain, actually. So, but it's the kingdom of God is like that. It's unstoppable and it's just spreading everywhere, which is really cool. So, Tessa and I, we recently moved up into the hills of the hut of Korokoro, and we get this really choice view, like with a massive window. And the other night, I was looking out the window, and I could see all the street lights off Petone and all the car lights, and just began to think that the kingdom of God is a little bit like that for us. So it's almost like this current reality that we're in is like nighttime, and we as ambassadors of the kingdom, as the carriers of this extraordinary this message of the extraordinary God, we're like those street lights. And I want to take the metaphor a little bit further and say that when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, it's a little bit like the sun coming up, right? And then and you can see reality as it's sort of intended to be. And you can't stop it. When the sun starts coming up over the Rimutuckers, you could try your best to stop it, pull your curtains, shut your eyes, put on a face mask or whatever, but you're not going to stop it. And the kingdom of God's like that. So despite us, the kingdom of God is coming. But we get to be a part of that, so no, I'm preaching it. It's the first time someone said that to me. It's quite cool. Okay, now what? That's my introduction. But this morning, I'm going to introduce a couple of ordinary people with an extraordinary God. There's Andrew Buttel. Do you want to come up now? Ellie Holt and Ed Holden, and they're going to share some stories of the kingdom of God in their everyday life. So grab yourself a stool. Yeah, maybe sit up in the middle somewhere so people can get a good view of you. Can you hold that for a second? So has everyone got a good view of these superstars? Yeah, so I wanted to invite them up because all of us, we work in, 9 to 5 or whatever. We work in jobs during the week. And sometimes we're thinking about, okay, stuff happens at church. We sing songs. Sometimes weird stuff happens. But how does that relate to our everyday existence, you know? So anyway, here we go. So the first question is, who are you? Tell us a bit about yourself. So you can tell us like who you are, where you live, if you've got a family, things like that.
Cool. I've got the microphone, so I'll start. So I'm Andrew. Been married to Marie for 17 years. We've got four boys, the oldest of whom is Jacob's, is 11, and we've been coming to Vineyard here for 12 years, I think. So we've been living up in Nio for 12 years. 7 years ago, I had a great job and I had plans to be in it for the next 10 plus years. And then I had a bit of a vision. And so 6 years ago, I started a company called Endgame. The vision I had was of a beating heart over the city, and the heart had arteries going into all the city. And now my business, we build software. We have about a dozen main clients, and they include ACC, who we do some stuff for, the hospital, the police, two universities, BNZ, a bunch of small businesses, and sort of just look back and go, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, as a business, we are connected to the whole city. So it's really cool.
That is a choice.
I'm Alison, and I live out of Plymouth, and I've got 4 grown-up children and 3 girls and a boy. And my baby is down in Dunedin. She's just got her degree, so they really are grown-up children. Years and years ago, I graduated with a maths degree and started work with a computer manufacturer when there weren't many girls in computing. And I got a lot of teasing. And the first time I ever started up, booted a mainframe computer, my male colleagues had put fireworks in the back. So I had to put up with a lot of teasing and all for girl power in a man's world. But now I'm running my own business and providing IT strategic planning for organisations. A very different mix of government, corporate, not-for-profit, whole range of clients. And recently got a piece of work as a strategic advisor for an organisation that does amazing work evaluating programmes in the Pacific. So really exciting. In my spare time, I represent New Zealand on international standards. So I write international ISO standards, and I'm writing a set of governance of data standards, and I'm off to China in 3 weeks' time to make that happen. And also in my spare time, I'm a company director for NZ UK, so I do linkages between NZ and the mother country. Finding programmes for bringing professors out here and bring businesses backwards and forwards. And that's about it. That's me.
Is that all? How do you even follow that? So I'm Ed. I'm married to Laura. Been married for 5 years. I'm originally from South Africa. My work past is very, very weird and strange. In South Africa, I studied as a commercial pilot, and then when I moved to the UK, I got my European pilot's license. But then God took me in a different direction. I ended up working in a call centre. and then after working in a call centre, I was a business development manager for an arts company. And then after that, he took me to India. And I was working as a youth worker and I was studying Hindi. And now I'm in New Zealand and I'm currently looking for work and I'm working with the youth. So currently not doing too much, actually. It's quite enjoyable.
Why don't you keep holding the microphone? And then, so I know that you have some stories from your work in Cardiff about the way the Kingdom of God sort of interacted there. Do you want to share some of those?
Yeah, gosh, I was actually, when I was thinking about the stories, I couldn't help but laugh at how God used me at the workplace. Because I have to make almost a disclaimer, when I was working there, and Laura can testify to this, for a couple of months, I honestly thought, what am I doing in this dead-end job? I used to come home, and I actually used to cry sometimes and be like, what am I doing here? So I must admit, I wasn't brave in the situation. At first, I thought, why has God placed me here? But I realized God was working on my heart as well as working through me. So it was a process of changing my heart. And by the time that I left the call center, I actually really loved the guys there. I even got emotional during worship because I started thinking about them and I just started crying. And I was like, actually, I really miss the people there. And some of the stories, the first sort of small story I can recall was I was never shy about saying that I believed in Jesus at the workplace. I was never shy about that. Everyone knew that I believed in Jesus, which brought about a lot of questions, which was great fun because there were a lot of rough characters around in that call center. So it formed a lot of good questions. But one day my team leader was just giving me a lift home and just randomly sort of turned to me and said, Ed, I thought all Christians were just a bit weird, judgmental, and a bit mental as well. yeah, and I was like, yeah, well, you pretty much got it. but he said, since knowing you, that's all changed. And I was like, Oh, wow, okay. Gosh, I didn't know that I was necessarily doing anything important, but that was just a small change. And other sort of stories, over a couple of months, I got promoted to be a team leader in that workplace. And I was thinking back on my team, and I had such a random team. Like, although we were in Wales, of my team of 17, I think only two people were Welsh. I had Somalian, Nigerian, Indian, Zimbabwean. I had a New Age spiritual healer, a prince from Nigeria, a geneticist, a couple of students. It was such a very weird team. And I had no idea that I was working in kingdom values. But what I just concentrated on in my workplace was looking after my team and trying to protect them as much as I possibly could. And just concentrate on developing them, because this is the kind of job where you kind of step and you move forward. Because I've been on the receiving end of when someone just looks at you and sees you as their answer to their vision, and you just feel like a tool, don't you? But what I was concentrating on was just developing them and making sure that they increase themselves. And it's amazing how God worked in that, just in that small thing, because these guys were not salespeople. The call center I was working for was a high demand, target-driven sales environment. And every single month, my team were either first or second on the sales board out of 20-odd teams that were there. And because of that, one of my bosses took notice, and he started trying to coach me about sort of management and strategic planning. But during these sort of coaching periods, we ended up talking about faith most of the time anyway. So he would say, well, like, why do you care about these people? I said, I don't know. I just do. I just want to see them do well. And I think after a couple of, it must have been a couple of months of this, I remember getting a text when I was at home, and he always had the questions like, God could never forgive me, a guy who's done a lot of bad stuff. He said, God could never forgive me. And I remember receiving a text and just him saying, out of all the discussions that we've had, Ed, I want to come back to God. I want to do this thing, which was amazing. And I would, like, that would be amazing if it stopped there. But again, after a couple more months of being there, my other boss, who also I just had random conversations with, I remember one particular story. There was a team visiting our church in Cardiff Vineyard, and they were talking about this treasure hunting, which is this idea of, like, you pray beforehand and you let God speak and you prophesy someone will heal. So me not really thinking it through that much, but I thought, oh, well, I could probably practice at the workplace, can't I? So I went up to my boss and kind of said, like, we had a good relationship, so I said, oh, can I practice something on you? So he kind of looked at me like, what are you on about? Like, what do you want to practice on me? I said, well, there was a group of people, and they were talking about prophesying. He's like, okay, that's a bit weird. I said, I know it is, but can I practice? And so he said, okay, sure, go ahead. And ended up praying over him, prophesying over him. And I remember getting a picture. It was nothing like just amazing. It was just like a picture of a light bulb with it shining on. And I said, I think I feel that you've been thinking about something, an idea, and maybe it's coming to light. And he said, oh, wow, that's amazing, because this whole weekend I've been thinking about different career choices and an idea came to mind, and I think I might go for it then. And then from there, but that just opened up a conversation. I got to share the kingdom of God with him, like just right there and there, like how God speaks to us now. And from there, I got to practice on all the other team leaders. So, yeah.
Did you get his job?
No.
That's so cool. So maybe we'll go back to Andrew. Because he said you had the vision of this heart beating over the city. And was that in your vision, do you think that was the heart of God, of love? Or?
Yeah, I being a sort of business-minded, I think that business is the heart. of a city, but also, you know, it's just it's where money flows from, really. So,
yeah, no, that's cool. And so, do you have some, I don't know, examples or ways that you've seen, you know, God interacting with you through your business or with people?
Yeah, my experience has been, how's it that the Vineyards put it, that the kingdom is supernaturally natural or naturally supernatural? A story, I got a couple of things. When we were building a house 4 years ago, Marie really, really wanted this oven called a Toledo. And it was out of our budget. We'd already maxed out what we were spending on the house. And then I really felt God said to me, you know, when you gave away an oven, so I'm going to give you back an oven. And I thought, yes, God, that's awesome. So he said, go and buy it. And I went, hang on a sec, that's not how it works. Aren't you supposed to give us the oven? And I sort of was, you know, when the Israelites were in the desert, everything was supernatural. But when they moved into the promised land, they ate off fruit trees and, you know, it was really natural. And so being in business, I sort of felt like God was saying, well, don't I give you the sales? Don't I give you the customers? Don't you make the money? And then you go and you buy the oven. That's how it works. And, you know, that was my experience of God giving us something. So then there was another time when we were completely short of cash in the business and we had to go to the bank and borrow some money. And so we were really praying and I just got this Bible verse, which is where it says, you know, God is our Bel Perazim, which means God of breakthrough. So we really prayed, God, you're our God of breakthrough. And that month we got a sale that we'd been chasing for a year closed, a sale that we'd been chasing for a week closed. All these other opportunities, you know, people would come back for more and it was all of a sudden we were full of all these sales and sort of related it back to this, you know, God is our God of breakthrough and it was really cool. But then what I sort of realise is, well, every single month, I don't always get the word saying God is the God of breakthrough, but every single month we get the sales and every single month we get new customers and people coming back for more. And, you know, how is that any different? You know, God's providing. How is that any different whether he gives you the word or not? It's still him providing. So
I've got a very similar recent word to that. I was just off on holiday to the South Island over Easter. And the night before I hadn't tithed into Vineyard and I had a poor month company-wise and a bit like Andrew, just had this work, you know, like, you know, just do it sort of thing. So the last possible moment before going to bed that night, I set up a financial transaction to put money into the Vineyard account and the money was going to go into the Vineyard account at midnight. And anyway, did that and thought, ah, forgot all about it. And then whilst I was down in South Island, I thought, I'll just check the bank balance. And it was almost the same as when I'd left home. And I thought, well, that's really strange. And what had happened was the money had gone out of my account at midnight, but it sort of gone like 3 minutes, like 12:03. And at 12:01, a surprise rebate from Inland Revenue came through and it was $50 more than the money going out. I thought, wow, that's so God, isn't it? You know, like just even the timing of the transaction really, really blessed me. And just as Andrew said, you know, like when you pray, God's there and God wants to bless. And I love the verse in Psalm 50. He's the God of the cattle on a thousand hills. You know, nothing's too difficult.
Who wants to talk next? Who's it going to be? Actually, while you've got the mic, because I think you've got a book on your lap.
Oh, yeah. Best business book ever is the Book of Proverbs. And it really is. It's just full of advice about and all aspects, financial accounting, HR, building your business, just everything's... There's so much business stuff in it. If you run a business, I'd really advise you to just read a chapter of Proverbs every day and just let it sink in. And, it's just huge blessings. One of the things James and I were talking about earlier was, you know, in the Old Testament, work is presented as a curse. We have to work. And I believe that part of the New Testament is that, yes, we have to work, but we work in things that we enjoy doing. Like I'm really passionate about what I do for work, and I love my work, and I love seeing God worked through my work life as well as through my like unwork life. And I think it doesn't matter what you do, but if you spend a lot of time working in this life, and if you're not passionate about it, you don't enjoy it, and it doesn't bless you, it's very hard for you to bless others through what you do.
Yeah, so that kind of leads me on to another question to the panel, so whoever wants to answer, or maybe all of you, because sometimes work is a real drag, and I'm sure like all of you would have experienced that, even if you know, you've got a vision for your company, or if you're working in a call centre, or you have your own businesses. So I don't know, do you have any ideas or like advice that you'd, I don't know, things that you hold on to when you find that it's actually just a real grind?
I think the first that I hang on to is the first, like, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I think there's times when you have to do drudgery things, you have to do things, you know, you have to do tax returns and things that you just don't push your buttons at all, maybe. Or you, there's stuff you have to do that's just really tedious, or you have to resolve issues with contracts and stuff. You know, you have a misunderstanding, or you know, you get difficult, sticky areas of work, and just that reminder that yeah, whatever you have fun to do, do it with all your might and with God in mind. And there's a couple of times because I run my own business, I can sort of set my own hours to some extent. And the number of times I've thought, oh, I might just lie in this morning and just sit and read. And it's always the verse in Proverbs about, you know, like a little rest and, you know, suddenly your whole business will fall apart. Yes. It's always the verse on laziness. Yeah.
Pray is the answer. I love work, so I don't find it a drag really ever. But I do find it stressful. So, you know, to talk about the stress side of things, the answer is pray. So before I started the business, I felt challenged to pray every morning for an hour in the morning before I started work. And I committed to that, although I can't say God would turn me to salt or something if I said I actually had done that every day. But I usually get in at least 30, 40 minutes. But I find that, like, so last week we had to pay wages and we were $60,000 short. And there have been times when I would have found myself calling, you know, saying, God, rescue us. God, I need your help. So now I find the model is more like, well, you pray, you trust God, you really get that peace, and then you go and get an overdraft. You go and chase your customers. You know, I'm not sort of asking for God to rescue me, but I am totally starting the day from a place of peace. And without that, you're approaching the problem out of a place of stress and you're going to try and solve it the wrong way. Another little story about prayer. So when we started, there were three of us, and we were all Christian. So we decided that we would start each work day by praying. And so we would turn on the IHOP, which is International House of Prayer, live stream of worship. And we would put that on in the meeting room. We would pray. And then we employed a developer, and he wasn't a Christian. And we said, well, hey, we do this prayer thing in the morning. You're welcome to join us. You're welcome to not join us. And he said, yeah, I'll come and see what it's about. And it felt really awkward, but we kept going. As the company grew, we stopped because it didn't really... we were outnumbered with the non-Christians and stuff. But when this guy left and we did a little exit interview, I said, what was your best thing about working at Endgame? And he said, the prayer time in the morning. And I was like, far out, because we just felt really awkward that you were sitting through us praying. So.
Yeah, I think for me, because this is... I think, guess one of the processes God put me on. But the first one is sometimes I find that in our workplace, we can attach our identity so much to what we do. And that sometimes actually causes us to feel that drudgery, like, oh, I'm in a call center and that's who I am. But God's like, no, no, no. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador of Christ. That's who you are. And it's changing our perspective that it's not just work that we go to. That's our mission field. That's our ministry. And so it gives us a sense of purpose, I believe, that just it helped me because it was a process of learning that every time I went to work, my actual ministry were the people that I was interacting with. And that's the important thing. God's wanting to bless those people. So it's also sometimes changing our perspective of things.
So we are kind of running a bit out of time, but do you have other stories that you wanted to share this morning?
Just while the boys are thinking, just to add to Andrew's point, the number of times I think early on in business where it's like, Lord, help me, rescue me, I'm stuck. And then gradually, as you sort of mature, I think you realise that actually sometimes you're the answer. You know, that you are the one who needs to, you know, once you have peace about it, you are the one who needs to go to the bank and do something.
This is a Bible verse that keeps me going. If you want to ask why, actually it's a combination of about three different Bible verses, which all say the same thing, pretty much. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. And then this bit that Moses said, which sums it all up. Teach me your ways so that I may know you. And I think that's what it's all about.
When I was thinking about this during the week about the kingdom, I wrote something down, and I guess I tend to explain what I'm feeling about something best through when I write something down as a poem. So it's called This Kingdom. For all, yet some only know, are locked in a battle. Our biggest challenge is ourselves. The hardest step is the one in front. Where this world is overwhelming and has no peace. Where we talk big and walk small, where we preach loudly and love quietly, where our mouths say yes and our actions say no. On this side of the battle, heaven is small and far away. Dreams are bloated with no substance. Boundaries are in place and we grow apart. Day to day we tread, no purpose, no life. We walk towards the dark, away from the light. Yet in this kingdom, the sun is coming and we walk towards the dawn. Our foundations are remade and our souls come alive. For once we were blind, but now we see, where love is loud and joy a reality. In this kingdom, we tear down the walls. Borders are just a line. A flag is just cloth. Once strangers, now family. Once apart, now in unity. Broken, but being repaired. Weak, but being made strong. Serving and never giving up. Caring and never giving in. Fists are opening. Doors are welcoming. Tears are drying. Hearts are beating. In this kingdom, beings are made new. Dreams are clear and bright. We walk towards the light. I guess my encouragement is, and this is, I guess, just one of the no-brainers that God just faced me with, is that if we want to see the kingdom of God break through in our workplace, we have to learn to take a risk. It's not, Jesus calls us not to a comfortable walk, because he will test us, he will grow us, he will shape us. But it comes with a risk. And it might be different things for us. For me, my boss could have turned around and said, no, like, you're a bit of a weirdo, go away. Because we always face that rejection, and everything we do will come with a risk. But I think God honors that. I think if we take those risks, God will honor that.
I've got a verse that really follows on well for that, and this is from Proverbs 8. You will find true success when you find me, for I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. I hold in my hands living understanding, courage and strength. And I think that's what Wellington needs. I think it needs us all to find where we belong and to go out there with courage and strength. And, you know, it's not always easy, but courage and strength is ours.
Good panel, eh? Yeah. Thanks heaps, guys. It's just so choice. I think one of the things that just keeps coming to mind is how, you know, God makes us all as unique, unique, makes us all unique, and he puts us in unique situations. We talked a lot about work this morning, but it doesn't matter if we're at work or at home or, I mean, Ed doesn't even have a job at the moment, but... but it doesn't matter. I mean, like, God's got him in there. God has us in these different places where we can be obedient to him, and he's always giving us opportunities to be obedient. And it's kind of like the mustard seed and the yeast that I talked about at the start. Like, we might be small, but God's given us these giftings and these interactions with people that nobody else has. Like, I'm terrible. I'd be a terrible businessman. I don't have those sorts of skills at all. I'd be useless at that. But you have those opportunities to interact with people and to actually bring changes in Wellington and New Zealand, and with Ali and with Ed. Like, you guys are, you've just got your giftings that God has provided. So, and I think it's like that for all of us. And absolutely. Yeah, so that's choice. So give him another round of applause. Thank you. And I'm sure that if you want to have a chat to them about other things, then just grab them afterwards. But I just want to, I think, sort of just wrap up there. We always like to open up the place down the front for prayer and for ministry, for encouragement. So if there's things that God's been sort of like pounding on your heart this morning that you want to be prayed for, or even if it's nothing to do with this morning, you just simply want to be prayed for and to see God's kingdom come in a real way in your life, then come on down. Everybody that wants to pray will come and pray. And we'll just see God's kingdom come. But I'll just close in prayer. Yeah, Lord, thank you so much that you are the King of Kings. Lord, you created this world and that you're never giving up on it, that your kingdom is advancing and there's nothing that is going to stop it. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to be your ambassadors, to shine your light and to show your love to the people that we interact with, whether at work or wherever we are, Father. And so, Holy Spirit, please nudge us. Give us opportunities this week to be able to share your kingdom, Father, and give us the strength and the courage to take those risks, to trust in you, Father. We've come this far and we want to keep going, Lord. We thank you for your love. Thank you for being here with us today. You're an incredible God. Amen. So you can help yourself to coffee or some prayer and just hang out. Have a choice week.